poured out all his anger at the cross. Now God is happy with you.
He's
full of joy. He gets pleasure when he looks at you. And he's looking at you all the time. And he wants his people to be full of joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Galatian church were full of grace. And then they went back under the law. And Paul writes to them in Galatians 4. He says, where is all your joy gone? One of the first signs of legalism is people are not joyful. It's impossible for God's presence to come and for nothing to happen. God created the heavens and the earth. If he walks into a room in his presence, someone's going to shake. Someone's going to fall. Someone's going to get happy. Someone's going to get healed. Someone's going to get saved. And demons are going to run away. Sometimes religious people run away with the demons as well. Some people pray for revival. And then when revival comes, they run away. Because the revival is too wild for them. Revivals are wild. Revivals are powerful. Wow. In revivals, people rip a hole in the roof and lower a paralyzed man in there. A whole herd of pigs run over the cliff and commit suicide. When Jesus goes, things happen. People get set free. Religion doesn't stay the same when Jesus is there. I think the church needs Jesus to come back. I think he's getting tired of knocking at the door. He wants us to open up and let him have his church back. It's not our church. It's his church. And when the living Christ comes into the church, demons go out. Lukewarm Christians become hot. Amen. That's what's happening here. Anyway, it's a great privilege to be speaking with Pastor Ezra, the Archbishop of all Archbishops.
Superstar.
We met last year in Pantown. Yeah, and I went back to Hong Kong and I said, I've met some very special men and women.
Jerusalem.
Yeah. And what a privilege to be talking with this wonderful man. We're
going
to have a short session now. Then we will stand up and have a 2-minute break. And then we will go into a question and answer time.
So
be thinking about any questions you want to ask. If you don't ask any questions, we will not feel insulted. But if you answer questions, we will do our best to answer them accurately. And no question is a bad question. Feel free to ask anything. I like asking questions because we learn a lot in questions and answers. And I don't mind when I'm with people like, and I could mention names of men and women of God that know much more than me.
Angina nginga ke njoba sengishilo ukuthi baningi abantu engihlangabezane nabo besifisa mesifazane abazikangcono
ngaphezulu. Adam man, I'm going to ask them questions because I want to learn quickly.
Nami ngiyababuza imibuzo ngoba ngifuna ukufunda futhi
ngokushesha. What took them 30 years to learn, I want to learn in 5 minutes by asking the right question.
Uma bona ngoba thathe iminyaka engamashumi amathathu befunda, mina ngifuna ufunda ngemibuzo zesihlanu nje ukuthi ngibabuze bangiphendule.
So let's open our Bibles to anywhere you want to, it's all very good.
Sivuyele ama Bible noma isiphila singavula khona ngiyabonga baba. Kuhle kwenze.
John 16. And I want to actually put your finger in John 16 and turn to Romans
3.
Of course, I can quote these scriptures from memory. But it's good to see them and read them on the paper. Which we are building a case against the arguments of the devil. Jesus said that the devil is the father of all lies. He says that in John chapter 8. And he says, whenever the devil speaks, he speaks his native language, which is lying. So many times the devil's arguments come in questions, the wrong questions. He said to Eve, did God really say? And he kept asking her questions until she began to doubt the very goodness of God. And they surrendered to lies. And they lost the beauty of what God had given them. So Jesus, who has lost Adam, we talked about yesterday. As soon as the Holy Spirit came upon him in power, he went out into the wilderness and Satan came and asked him questions. If you be the Son of God. Jesus had just heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You can come to a grace conference and hear the Father say, I love you, I accept you, you are the righteousness of God. And yet a few days after the conference, the enemy comes and says, if you really are the righteousness of God, why are you still failing in this area and that area? Do this and do that to prove you're the righteousness of God. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God, do this or do that or turn these stones into bread. And Jesus never tried to prove who he was by what he did. He just quoted the scriptures. When the liar comes to you, you must know how to rightly divide the word of God. Truth is your weapon against lies. And lies come and they attack our minds. But we need to know the truth. Speak the truth out of your mouth. Jesus said the truth. There's times when my mind has been lied to. Sometimes just 2 minutes of declaring the truth. I am the righteousness of God. No, God can never be angry with me again. Because Isaiah 54:10, God took an oath never to be angry. And as you speak the truth, your mind becomes clear and clean again. There was some spiritual pollution in the air last night here. Because there were people that had come that were being oppressed by devils. And when the glory of the presence of God came, and we just rebuked those devils, said, "You go." It was like a wind of God in this house. And demons just left. And the air became so clean. We must live in clean air in our homes. Clean air in our marriages. Clean air in our churches. And then the whole area becomes clean. And it becomes very difficult for devils to stay in the area. The more we train people with the word of God, pastors, we are meant to become less and less needed. Because we've trained all the people of God so well that when a devil comes into their house, they don't call us. They use the name of Jesus and kick it out. When the enemy comes to their minds, they know the word of God. They cannot be deceived by the voice of the accuser. Now, I want to take another truth that the devils lied about. The devil says the Holy Spirit convicts the Christian of sin. That's 100% a lie. And now we're going to take the word of God, not my word. I want to say this, that the law of Moses convicts everyone that's not a believer. And the law convicts everyone who's not a believer. The law convicts them about every sin they do. I want to say that again. The law convicts every person who's not a Christian about every sin they do and holds them accountable to God, that they will face judgment unless they believe on Jesus Christ. Say, believe on Jesus Christ. The law convicts every unsaved person for every sin they do. The Holy Spirit convicts unsaved people over one sin. He convicts the world, the unsaved world, of one sin. And that's the sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ. That's why if we resist the Holy Spirit, who leads us to Jesus, by convicting our hearts of unbelief in grace, we can never be forgiven. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of our unbelief in the forgiver, Jesus Christ. That's why blasphemy against the Father will be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Father will be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Son will be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, God bless you guys, they're on their way to Joburg. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us to the forgiver. So let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And verse 19. And it's so important as leaders that we know where these scriptures are, how to explain it in its context. And this is writing to people, it's referring to people that are under the law because they're not Christians. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God.
Ukhuluma kubo bonke abasemthethweni ukuba yonke imilomo ivinjwe
Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin.
Ngokuba ngemisebenzi yomthetho akukho nyama eyakulungisiswa phambi kwakhe ngokuba ngokomthetho kukhona ukwazi isono.
So the law makes people who are not believers conscious of all of their sin.
Umthetho ke wenza abantu abangakholwa bazi ngesono sabo.
Now John 16, let's turn there.
Ake siyeke kuJohn isahluko sika 16.
The Holy Spirit only makes people conscious in the world of one sin. Verse 8. Jesus speaking. When he comes, that's the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world. It's the world, not the church. He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment.
Isahluko sika 16. Lapho esefikile yena uzoqondisa izwe ngesono nangokulunga nangokwahlulela.
Now I've heard many Christians say, you see, the Holy Spirit convicts the Christian of sin, righteousness and judgment.
Kukhona abantu abaningi engibazwile bengamaKristu bethu mongcwele uyena ozoqondisa abantu ngesono nangokulunga nangokwahlulela.
But that's not true. They've taken that one verse out of its context.
God akusilona iqiniso lelo ke bathathele lo verse lodwa nje bakhuluma ngalo bengalikhiphe kwi context yabo.
In the next verse Jesus tells us what the sin is, what the righteousness is about and what the judgment's about.
Ebese nilandelayo uJesu khuluma ngokuthi kusho ukuthini kukhulunywa ngani makhulunywa ngomusa kukhulunywa ngani makhulunywa ngokwakhe.
And it's got nothing to do with the Christian.
Akusho lu akunalutho lingalenza ngamaKristu.
Let's look at Verse 10.
I guess begin to verse 10.
Oh, sorry. Where are we? Verse 9. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world, that's people who are not Christians, of the sin of unbelief in Jesus. It's a singular sin. It's a specific sin. Jesus is grace. And the Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers of their unbelief, their sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ in grace.
And
then he says in verse 10, in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. When Jesus ascended on high, he sat down at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest. And he ever lives to make intercession. Because he has given the gift of righteousness to whoever believes on Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of the unbelief in grace, the unbelief in Jesus, and reveals to them that Jesus has gone to the right hand of the Father, and anyone who believes will be given the gift of righteousness. The Holy Spirit offers the gift of righteousness. When we preach the gospel that the Lord judges you of all sin, and if you die without Christ, you will be judged to the full severity of the law. Believe on Jesus Christ. He's ascended on high. He's your mediator. And he gives you a gift of righteousness. The preaching of the gospel is offering people a gift of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit convicts people of that. Amen. And then the next verse, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Now, Now who is the prince of the world? Jesus is not the prince of this world. In John 14 verse 30, Jesus says very clearly, Satan is the prince of this world. In Ephesians 2, Paul says the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He works in the children of disobedience. God gave this world to Adam. Adam listened to the devil's lies, and the devil took the authority that God had given to Adam, and he became the small god of this world. He is the one that causes sicknesses and diseases. Not our heavenly Father. Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus perfectly reveals the Father. And every sick person who came to Jesus, Jesus healed. And Jesus cast out devils and healed the sick. Satan is the prince of this world. He's stolen from Adam that authority God gave Adam. But Jesus says the Holy Spirit will show the world that the prince of this world, the devil, has been condemned. That the authority he stole from Adam has been taken back in the cross in last Adam. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven now and on earth is given to me. That means the devil has no legal authority. He is a liar and a deceiver. And if we agree with his lies, we give him a power. But he does have no power unless we agree with his lies. That's why preachers and teachers teach clear context of scripture.
It's
Colossians chapter 2:15. Says that on the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He condemned your condemner. He destroyed your accuser. Jesus is our champion. And he won the victory on the cross. And when Christians find this out, that the Holy Spirit's not convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment, he's convicting the world. Jesus said, we get so confident in grace and we submit to God and we resist the devil and he flees from us. The devil will run from a two-year-old baby that knows how to use the name of Jesus. You see, for too long I've heard men say, Christians, the Holy Spirit is convicting you of all your sin all the time. And he's demanding you live more righteously. And if you don't, he's going to judge you. That is a complete abuse of the Word of God. That is so wrong. And it must stop. Because the devil loves preaching words out of context. The Holy Spirit does not convict the believer of sin. Because all of your sin was taken away at the cross. The Holy Spirit convicts you of truth. He's the Spirit of truth and he leads you into the truth. What is the truth? For the truth sets free. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High. by God. You are innocent through the blood. The Father always loves you. He never is angry with you. He's finished his anger on Jesus at the cross. And you can grow in holiness because your heart becomes more and more complete and you feel safe, and broken things are made beautiful inside. Can you say amen? The bride of Christ for so many centuries has been like Lazarus in the tomb. And people rolled the stone away and brought the church out. And she's just got bandages all the way around. And she's come alive. But she's got to jump. She can't lift up her hands. She's bandages tight all around. So the grace message is Jesus saying to Lazarus' friends, take the bandages off. The church is thinking, why don't we have more miracles? Why don't we have more impact? Why aren't there more people saved? Because the church is trying to do its job like this. Can't see, bandages over the eyes. Jesus raises us from the dead when we are born again. Jesus never came to make immoral people moral. He came to make people that are dead live. We were spiritually dead in first Adam's disobedience. And Jesus spoke and said, arise and be alive. Then he says to preachers, preach grace. Take the grave clothes off the church. And let us stand in a radiance and the beauty as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Where every believer knows these simple truths. Not just because of preachers, but because every believer is telling everyone this. This is the truth. This is the true powerful gospel. We're no longer under the law of Moses. We're free. All right, we got 10 minutes, so let's look quickly at Hebrews 10. We cannot bring anything of the old covenant system into the new covenant. As believers, we cannot use the blood of bulls and goats. Because it is an insult to the blood of Jesus. You see, because I spoke the other day, yesterday, I think on the first night, that the Old Testament is the shadow. The New Testament is the substance, reality. So when you see the shadow of an aeroplane on the ground, you don't try and get into the shadow. Because it will take you nowhere. The law will take you nowhere. The blood of bulls and goats will take you nowhere. It's only shadow.
It's tombs.
But when you see the shadow, you look for the airplane. Then you go to the airport. And you get into the substance. And you fly out of Hong Kong. And you come to Integwini. And you come to Zululand. And you preach to beautiful people. Because you're not in the shadow. You're in the substance. The substance. The substance will get you places. Blood of bulls and goats, very dangerous. It's a shadow. It's choosing the shadow instead of the substance. Jesus' blood is substance. The blood of bulls and goats God allowed for a little time after the law came. The blood of bulls and goats could temporarily cover people's sin. But it couldn't take the sin away. And it had no power to remove guilt. And it was offered over and over again. And it just covered the people temporarily. But when you read the whole book of Hebrews, it will show you that when Jesus said, "It is finished," the shadow was finished. The substance had begun. Now, anyone who went back and relied on the shadow, the shadow doesn't work anymore. The shadow was weak and useless. But under the law, it could temporarily cover you. When that old covenant was finished, now the blood of bulls and goats doesn't even cover. It's finished. Now this book was written not to Gentiles. It was written to Jewish people. Some of them had become Christians. And they were struggling because they had been persecuted by Jewish non-believers. And some of them had heard the truth of Jesus and substance. But they chose to reject the substance of, and they kept on relying on the blood of bulls and goats. That's the specific sin that the writer is addressing. He says, if you hear about the blood of substance and you get the knowledge of the truth and you reject the blood of Jesus, and you rely on the blood of bulls and goats, he said that blood cannot work anymore because that covenant is finished. And he said, if you go into eternity relying on the blood of bulls and goats, you've insulted the Spirit of grace and you have trampled the blood of Jesus under your feet. And there's only the anger of God laid up for you. Now he's not saying this to those that are in Christ. This chapter he's writing to those who have a knowledge of the truth of Jesus' blood. And they've rejected that blood. This is the specific sin. When you read a verse, read the whole chapter, read the whole book, and read what covenant it's in. It says if they deliberately keep sinning after the knowledge of truth, there's no more sacrifices. It's not general sinning. It's one specific sin. That's obvious from the context. It's the sin of unbelief in the blood of Jesus and trusting in the blood of bulls and goats. Is that clear? Okay. You see, I'm a preacher more than I'm more a preacher than a teacher. I like to just run up and down the platform and preach. Just quoting scriptures from my heart. Casting out devil. I love that. But I know that doesn't help if that's all you do. Africa's had lots of big tents with wonderful evangelists. And they preach, and miracles happen. But within a few weeks, churches go back to bondage because the message has not been taught line upon line clearly. And true ministry and true fathers and mothers, when they leave a city, the leaders and the people there should say, we've got weapons, we have been equipped on how to stay free. That's why I found I must teach line upon line. Even if some people fall asleep, that's okay. Because there's enough people who listen. No one's falling asleep today. But sometimes we have to learn to listen. You see, you can get in a hot bath and it's very nice. In winter. But the water always gets cold. You can be in a hot meeting. But within a few days, that doesn't help you anymore. But if you've got truth in your heart, and you understand the word of God, you understand your rights as a son of God, as a daughter of God, and you know grace, you can walk hot every day. You can walk hot. I walk hot every day. I've been on fire every day for 35 years. I have not had one lukewarm day. Not one in 35 years. That's freedom, friends. Be hot. Stay hot. Can a fly land on a hot stove?
Praise.
So if someone comes and says, Hebrews 10 says, if you keep on deliberately sinning, there's only wrath. You look them in the eye. Say, now let's read this chapter in context, please. The deliberate sinning is a specific sin. It is choosing the blood of bulls and goats above the blood of God Himself. And that is serious sin. That is the sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ. And when you preach this, in China and South America, and wherever these bulls and goats being offered in churches, by Christians, preach it in Africa. And people are relying on the blood of bulls and goats. The Holy Spirit will show them the truth that they don't need the blood of bulls and goats. It doesn't work anymore in the new covenant. That covenant was finished at the cross. No more blood and bulls and goats. It's the blood of God. Amen.
Amen.
If you've been taught that if you don't offer the blood of bulls and goats, your ancestors will be angry with you. And you
got
to wear that little thing on your wrist. You just say, Father, I want to thank you for the blood of God. Never has to be spilt again or offered again. It's already been offered. I have nothing to fear from my ancestors. The blood of Jesus is enough. Amen.
Amen.
Because when we wear that little thing as Christians, we're saying to people that we believe that the blood of Jesus is equal to the blood of bulls and goats. We're saying the blood of shadows is equal to the blood of substance. And then we confuse our own minds. Rely only on Jesus.
Sihlale kuphela kuJesu.
Let's look at Hebrews 10.
I guess we're going to Hebrews 10.
Verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship.
Ngokuba lokhu umthetho unesithunzi sezinto ezinhle ezizayo, ungesiwo umfanekiso wazo uqobo, ungeze waba namandla ngemihlatshelo enikelwa njalo njalo iminyaka ngeminyaka ukubenza baphelele labo abasondelayo.
Now the next verse is going to show us that it's the will of God that a blood be offered that takes away our guilt forever and ever. But so many Christians are full of guilt because they're still relying on some blood that is not the power of God's blood. Verse 2. If it could, would they have not stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins.
Uma kwakungenjalo, nga engayekwanga ukunikelwa na. Lokhu phela abakhonzayo sebehlanjululiwe kanje babengasayikuba novalo ngezono. Kodwa kuleyo mihlatshelo kukhona ukukhunjulwa kwesono iminyaka ngeminyaka.
I want you to see that the blood of bulls and goats offered over and over again never took away guilt.
It
was,
been
applied over and over again, and it never took away guilt. I want you to see that the blood of Jesus Christ only has to be applied once. Never again. Once. And it makes you perfect forever. The blood of God, by one application, makes you perfect for all time and all eternity. God can't find your sins. God is omniscient. He knows everything. But he cannot remember your sins. It's not because he's lost his memory and he's getting old. He knows everything. He knows what's under every rock on this planet. He knows all the billions and trillions of stars by name. But he doesn't know where your sins are because they are gone. They don't exist.
Wow.
By one offering of his blood. One. You don't have to plead the blood. It's been applied. Just thank him for the blood, and I thank you for the power of your blood. But you never have to apply it over and over again. That's old covenant. Any religion that's demanding you apply blood over and over again, year after year, to make some spirits no longer angry, is not the gospel. Look at verse 10. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all.
Galeon tando singwelisiwe ngokunikelwa komzimba kuJesu Kristu kanye kuphela.
Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins.
Aba priest bonke kambe bemi bekhonza imihla ngemihla benikela kaningi ngayona leyo mihlatshelo engasoze yaba namandla okususa isono.
But when this priest, that's Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And then verse 14. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who have been made holy.
Verse 14.
Now notice, the scripture is consistent.
Oh,
so wonderful translation, just like that, straight away.
Wow. Thank you.
Remember what we said, the Holy Spirit will never convict you as a Christian of sin. He will convict you of the truth, of what Jesus did. Look at verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. And he testifies in verse 16 that the nature of God has been put in your heart when you were made a new creature. And notice verse 17. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. For the believer, we must not think we must offer any more blood sacrifice. Because we don't need it. Because his blood is perfect. And then you can read the rest of the chapter. Come boldly into the most holy place through the blood. Full assurance of faith. No more condemnation. And then he speaks about spurring one another on to love and good deeds. And not failing to meet together, but meeting regularly as we see the day approaching. And then he warns those who've had a knowledge of the truth but still keep going back to the blood of bulls. He says, don't do that. Now, if you find a believer that has believed on the blood and they're born again, and they still rely on the blood of bulls and goats for ancestors, but they are born again, please don't tell them that now the wrath of God's on them. Because if they believe in Jesus and they believe in the blood of Jesus, they're safe. But they're confused. And they set an example to other people that is not helpful. But if there's someone who has not believed on the blood of God, and believed it, but they've heard the truth of the blood, and they keep relying on the blood of bulls and goats, that's very dangerous. Because there will be wrath one day. If we go into eternity without faith in the blood, that's why the Holy Spirit convicts the world of one sin. Unbelief in Jesus. Everyone believes in something. If they're not believing in Jesus, they're believing in bulls and goats rather than the one who was born of a virgin. The only human being born of a virgin, God the Son, to put bulls and goats above him is to tread on the blood of Jesus and to insult the Spirit of grace. Is this clear? As truth breaks into Zululand more and more, and we deal with some things that are unhelpful
And
people are set free with the wonderful truth.
Going to
be beautiful atmospheres. Climates of God's glory. People are going to just grow in freedom.
And the
beauty of His grace. Why don't you just lift your hands and just thank the Father for the blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, by one sacrifice. Give us wisdom in these things, Lord. Give us graciousness. We ask you, loving Father, in the name of Jesus. We honor you. We always want to honor our ancestors, Father. We want to show respect to those that have come before us. You've said even in the New Testament, honor your parents, for it will give you long life. We honor our parents. We honor our ancestors. But we honor the blood of Jesus far greater. And we trust in that blood. Thank you for your peace, Father. Thank you, your blood removes fear and anxiety and worry. We celebrate the blood of Jesus. The blood of substance. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap and a shout. It's good news.